now. Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. I hope everyone is having a great Easter weekend. The weather is beautiful. It's going to be warm out there, but we got some things to talk about in the landscape. Love to say good morning to Lizzie. Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. Are the grandbabies going to be, grandbrats going to be hunting for turkey eggs?
Well, you know, had I not disturbed the whole turkey pen and run setup with our turkey hens, then yes, we would. But they are boycotting with they're picketing with little signs and stuff. Yes. Yes, literally.
That's funny. So the weather this weekend throughout Florida is going to be beautiful for the Jeep festival and, just going out there on the lakes and going out to the beach. It's going to be amazing. Temperatures throughout the state are going to be highs in the 70s down in South Florida to the 80s. And there's going to be a lot of 90s up north and in Central Florida, lows in the 60s and 70s. So the only thing is, we're not expecting rain for another 10 days.
Oh, no. Shh. Don't say that out loud.
I know. And it's just going to be spring is our driest season, but right now we're in a drought. We need to get some rain. We're down at least 5 inches here in Central Florida. And it doesn't mean you need to water more often. It just means that we do get the opportunity to irrigate twice a week, and your landscape is going to need that.
Yeah.
Not longer. Okay, so, people think that they have to water more often, and they think that if they do it every day for 10 minutes, it's better because they're not using as much water. No, you want to water less often, but longer. So I would say at least 30 to 45 minutes. You want to make sure that that water goes down. 1 inch of water will go down 12 inches, but if you're only watering 10 minutes, you may not even be, scratching the surface, and your plants can decline. Your turf can decline. So right now, we just want to be very protective of our landscape. I would not recommend fertilizing over the next 10 days. I would recommend not using an herbicide. Okay, the time for using herbicide is over. When temperatures average 85 degrees, the plants and the turf are going to get hit, and the weeds, not so much, because the weeds are stronger. So you never want to use herbicides in temperatures over 85 degrees, which we will have this week. So next 10 days, just ease up. Try not to cut your turf too short. The longer the blade, the deeper the root system. If you're cutting it really short and scalping it, and I don't mean a zoysia grass at the regular 1.5 to 2 inches. That's its normal height. That's what you should cut it at. I'm talking about St. Augustine and Bahia, cutting it down to 1 inch. You know, for some reasons I've heard is that they don't want to mow as often. That's not a good idea. Okay, you want to keep those longer blades, especially when we're in drought, because that keeps the root system deep, and that deep root system will be able to stay hydrated. Okay, so that's very, very important. So the only chance and a slight chance of rain is next weekend in Miami and in Key West. You guys have a 10 to 30% chance of rain, and we just need the rain. So pray for that this weekend.
Yes.
And just make sure that if you're cooking out, that you're very careful, you have some water on hand, you have sand on hand, because the chance of fire during these droughts is really, really high.
Yeah, no throwing your cigarette butts anyway in life, period, out the window, but especially not right now. So, yeah,
exactly.
Don't burn anything. Just pay attention if you do mow and you hit any rocks or anything like that.
The sparks.
The sparks. So just be cautious. I mean, because This is not a good situation right now with this weather being so dry.
It is not. We have a great show for you today. If you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967. You can put it into your phone so you have it. And then you can also text us this morning, 23680. And we've already heard from some listeners already this morning. So our text line is working. So thank you very much. Happy Easter to everyone. And I'd like to say good morning to Tony and Angel. And I ran into them yesterday. And so it's they're very nice gentlemen. And we'll be hearing more from Tony in the future. Not my Tony. This is a different Tony. And so it's really great. We also, too, are going to be telling you what you need to do this time of the year in the garden. If you're new to listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, we love having you all over from Texas and Alabama.
Australia,
Hong Kong, Singapore.
It's crazy the number of people. Yeah. We love you all. That's awesome.
Exactly. So. That listen to the show. And if you would go to our Facebook page, you can just like us on our Facebook page, Better Lawns and Gardens. And give us 5 stars. We'd love to have that. And my newsletter is going to go out in just about 10 days. So if you'd like to receive our monthly newsletter where I tell you what to do in your landscape each month, I give you some design tips. Got a really good one this month. And then also to landscaper malpractice, how to know when to fire your landscaper. I talk about that. And Lizzie, always every few months, gives us some ideas of what's going on in her garden. So if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. With us right now is one of my favorite people in the whole world, Dana Venrick. He is such a wealth of knowledge. He is former extension. He is a grower. He had nurseries, and he is amazing with how much help he can give you for your nurseries. Good morning, Dana. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Teresa. How are you?
I am great. Hey, Dana, how did the Florida Wildflower Festival went? I thought it was fantastic.
It was really, really informational and entertaining, too. And I had a lot of people come up and thank us for doing this for so many years and spreading so much knowledge about plants, you know, and care of plants and having such a great selection of all types of plants and plant products and accessories.
You did. You brought a lot of plants from Quality Green Specialist Nursery, and they looked beautiful.
Some wild, too, you know, for showing what's edible from the wild.
Exactly. So thank you so much. And you have that every year, and we're going to go next year, too, as well. So we'll talk about it then.
Yep, it was the 20th anniversary.
Excuse me. So, Dana, this morning we are talking about fruit trees. And I have some questions for you. So when we're in this drought, how does that affect fruit trees?
Well, it's like it affects everything severely. It's hard to keep up with the watering. They need more water generally than regular native trees like an oak and go through a lot more drought or pines. But when you have a fruit tree, it has a more limited root system, and of course they have flowers and fruit take more water, so they dry out faster. In fact, we're going to do a lot of selective watering on different types of plants and fruit trees today. Some just dry out faster, especially when there's a lot of stress from this drought.
So this drought, I've had a lot of people saying my flowers are falling off my citrus trees, and that's to be expected. They do fall off, but, I mean, does it affect the size of the fruit?
No, but up to 3% or more is the only part that's going to stay on. You know, the rest of them are going to drop off the tree. So it's normal for a lot of fruit drops. But because of the stress, you might have more than that. That's just the way it is. And so We by the way, we have a great selection of new plants that we have available now. We've got 8 varieties of blueberries,
oh my
4
goodness.
Varieties of high bush, and 4 of rabbit eyes. So you have a lot better selection to pick out what's going to work best for you with the right chill hours and whether they need a pollinator or not. Generally, the rabbit eyes need a pollinator, and the high bush varieties are at least partially self-fertile. And so we have also 4 varieties, new name varieties of loquats, of all types of delicious loquats that you will love, you know, and pick out the ones you like the best.
Well, that's so true. Loquats are a popular fruit tree here in Florida. People love to eat them, and they're great for wildlife too as well. So what citrus trees? Do you have citrus trees? Tell us what type of other fruit trees you have.
We have all types, from great selection of blueberries, avocados, mangoes, peaches, pears, nectarines, plums, and we have grapes also, and we have figs, and so you'll be amazed. We have over 100 varieties now altogether of fruiting plants.
That's amazing.
So I'm just going to be amazed. Just take your time and walk through to see this great inventory of fruiting plants.
So how many, what size can people buy? What do you recommend for the height and the gallon size to take home and see a nice production?
Well, I would recommend at least a 3-gallon size that's got a good start, a nice stem or trunk, and a fairly nice canopy. And some of these, even in the 3-gallon and 5-gallon, already have blooms and fruit on them. So that's what I would recommend. And by the way, we have a great selection of olives as well. We have 7 varieties of olives, and 4 of them have fruit on them right now.
Oh, that's
like the
excellent.
The Arbutina and the Koroniki. We have a great selection of all types of fruiting plants.
So now, for some fruit trees, this is the time to not prune. Is there anything else you recommend? What about fertilizing when we're in a drought, fruit trees? Because they do need fertilizer.
Well, you still need to fertilize if it needs it. You're going to have to water anyway, but lightly, like you're lightly salting a piece of fish, for example, and then water it in and combine that with your watering so you don't waste water. But if you see that there's some yellowing or intravenal chlorosis, and if you know what the diagnostic signs is, give it what it needs, but very lightly, and then water it in.
Okay, and so how does azomite and the micronutrients, how does that help fruit trees in a drought?
It has 70 trace minerals in very low amounts, so you take care of any of those deficiency symptoms and make sure, again, to water it in lightly. And the good news is, even though there's all these heavy metals in there, they're at levels less than regular soil, so you don't risk contaminating the soil. I've had customers come in and say, I'm so happy to find you. I've been using azomite for 20 years. It works just as well after 20 years as it did from the beginning.
Oh, that's great. And
that's a great testimony.
So now you do soil testing for Quality Green Specialist Nursery there. So do you need to do a soil test if you want to plant fruit trees?
If you have trees that are showing deficiency symptoms, they sort of look yellow or not growing properly, have intravenal chlorosis on leaves, it's a good idea, very good idea, if you have any types of hints in your yard, on the lawn or the trees you have, to get a soil test to correct any deficiencies you might have. But with a soil test, I highly recommend it, because then you can target. Use only the things the soil needs and the microbes, of course, need. And don't put what you don't need. It's just as important not to put something if it's already high in the soil, like phosphorus or iron, which are generally high in the soil. But it's very important to put things you definitely need, like generally manganese.
Manganese, yeah.
It's very chronically low, as well as potassium in the soil.
That's important. So now, what should people look for if it's an insect issue? How can they tell if they have an insect issue?
Well, look and see if you have normal leaves, or do you see spots on the leaves? Do you see some chewing marks, sort of cut edges on the leaves, speckling on the leaves? And then take a magnifying glass or hand lens, and if you have insects, you will see them. A lot of times you can see them right off hand, like with mites. Sometimes they cover the entire tip. It's like a little army of of mites or aphids on the leaves or the tips. They like that tender foliage.
They do.
Tender foliage.
And so Dana, what I do is, as I'm walking past my trees and shrubs, I just lightly touch them. If I see anything that just like starts to fly around, it's a good indication that something's starting. Yes, yes.
Yeah, you will. You will see them. It's like if you go through an orange grove, you brush the leaves, you'll see these little psyllids, like hopping off the leaves. But you look closely, you'll see they're on the leaf like at a 45-degree angle. That's what you don't want on the citrus tree, the little psyllid causes the greening.
And one of the things that people seem to think is really bad, but it's tell us what sooty mold is.
Sooty mold is actually a type of fungus that feeds on the honeydew secreted by these sucking insects like aphids and so forth. Mites, scale insects, they all, secrete honeydew, especially like aphids. And then when this sweet honey-like liquid is secreted by the aphids, then that's food for the black fungus that feeds on that honeydew. So a strategy is, take a high-pressure stream of water and wash them off, and that might also, after a while, also wash off that black covering. And underneath the leaf is still perfectly green, probably. It's just covered, and that's not going to be good for the tree because it doesn't have light for photosynthesis with a black covering on the leaves.
And so then I see ants on fruit trees. What is that a symptom of? Are ants harming the plant? Are they coming to the plant itself?
Or? Well, if they're up on the tree, that's generally some food source like aphids or mice or some other source of food, for the ants. And so you've got to take care of two things. You've got to take care of the insects, control the insects with like an oil spray or an oil and neem spray like we have. And then also control the source of the ants. See if we follow that little army trail of ants, go back and then treat with a bait or we actually do a lot of treating with like a mild dish detergent. Get a lot of bubbles, and that gives a contact kill.
And so that's okay to put on fruit trees? They can still eat the fruit? Okay.
Just don't want, like anything else, don't overdo it. But it's pretty safe, actually.
Wonderful.
Mild soap without all the additives.
That's great, Dana. So tell everybody where you're located in beautiful DeLand.
Yes, we're at 335 West Michigan Avenue, just northwest of downtown. You go on Woodlands, which is 1792, just north of downtown. Take a left on Michigan at the big white house there on the Stetson campus, and we're just 3.5 blocks. We're easy to find right across from the Barnabas School.
And what is your website link?
QualityGreenSpecialist.com. We're open 9 to 4 every day. So we look forward to seeing you, and we have a lot of information on all the different types of blueberries and loquats, which would work best for you. That we have the information to help you out on that.
That's wonderful. But you're closed tomorrow on Easter, right?
We are closed Easter.
There you go, Dana. Thank you so much for coming. Happy Easter, hon. Certainly appreciate you calling in. That's Quality Green Special.
Thank you. Show.
Thank you, Dana. He is just wonderful. He is so knowledgeable, and he can help you with any plants. But their quality of their plants at Quality Green Specialist is not a joke. They are quality,
yeah.
And it's lovely to take home. He's got a lot of native trees and native plants too as well.
Right, and he's also a superhero too. People don't seem to understand that. He is literally a superhero, not only for plants, but also for you at that at the festival.
Whenever. Yes, he was great. He came right through, so that was wonderful. So if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Lizzie, did you know that the General Federation of Women's Clubs is the largest and oldest nonpartisan, non-denominational women's volunteer organization in the world?
I had no clue.
Women's clubs, it's just amazing. Joining us right now is Dina Morrow. She is the past president and of the Apopka Women's Club and co-chairman of the Foliage section of the Apopka Arts and Foliage Festival. Good morning, Dina. Thank you so much for joining us. How long have you been a member of the Apopka Women's Club?
Gee, can you believe I've actually been a member for 46 years, been working with the festival all those years.
Wow, that is just incredible. So who are the main partners and behind the Apopka Art and Foliage Festival? How long has it been going on?
Okay, well, this is our 63rd festival, and it's sponsored by the Apopka Women's Club, along with the support of the city of Apopka.
That is incredible. 63 years. That's amazing. And it is a great festival. And so what will people who go, the attendees, what are they going to find at the Apopka Art and Foliage Festival?
Okay, since we are an art and foliage festival, we have a wide range of art and creative hand crafters. They are all juried. We have several plant vendors from throughout Central Florida, several sponsored organizations, a wide arrangement of food. Just you can come and have a wide choice of food. There is entertainment at the gazebo all weekend.
Well, I will.
There's plant.
Go ahead, hon.
Oh, there are plant doctors. If you have a plant that's kind of sick and you didn't know how to take care of it, bring it, and there's very qualified plant doctors to analyze your problem.
And that includes Tom McCubbin. He is going to be there. That's wonderful. And so, what day is it?
Okay, the festival will be held on Saturday, April 26th, from 9 to 5. And on Sunday, April 27th, from 10 to 4.
And is there any cost?
No, the festival is free of charge. There is a $5 parking charge, which the parking is run by a Boy Scout troop in Apopka, and that supports their camping and their projects throughout the year.
Well, Apopka is a beautiful city, so where can people find it?
Okay, we're very fortunate to have the Kitland Nelson Park right downtown Apopka. The address is 35 South Park Avenue.
That's in Apopka, and that's going to be next weekend, Saturday, April 26th, and then also then on Sunday. And so the plants, I've always been surprised at the plants because these are growers in Apopka that, you know, are normally, they're just open for, you know, commercial business, but they come to the Apopka Art Festival and they have gorgeous plants.
Right. There is a very wide range of plants. The nurseries are wholesale most of the time. You'll find just about any kind of plant you're interested in, from blooming plants to foliage to edible fruit trees, bonsais, just a very wide arrangement.
And then a lot of orchids. I remember the orchids and hanging baskets, and so that's wonderful. And then there's also some native plants.
Yes, there's a couple vendors that do the native plants. The one that did them for many years has retired, but butterfly plants, there's just a good selection.
That's wonderful, Dina. And so what is this a fundraiser for the Apopka Women's Club?
Yes, all the profits or proceeds that the festival makes goes back into the community. Last week at our meeting, we just introduced five girls from the local schools with scholarships. We give a good donation to Shops with the Cop, Lowe's and Fishes, Seniors First, several youth organizations. But every bit of the proceeds that we will make next weekend goes right back to the community.
Wonderful. So thank you so much, Dina, for coming on. I'll remind everybody again in the next hour or two about it, the Apopka's Art and Foliage Festival, April 26th and 27th. Give us the hours again.
Okay, Saturday is 9 to 5. Sunday is 10 to 4.
And do you have
We do have a website, apopkaartandfoliagefestival.org, if you want to get more information.
Thank you so much, Dina. Great job.
Okay, thank you for having us on. Appreciate it, Teresa.
You're welcome, hon. Take care. She has been a Apopka Women's Club member for 47 years, past president. I mean, that's amazing.
That's amazing. And then, you know, the good thing about that is that she knows the stuff and knows what and the area. It's just, I love that. So that's very helpful. So.
It is. And it's a great festival. So that's next week, April 26th and 27th. And that'll be good. So I do want to wish Joanne Molinari a happy birthday. Very, very good. She is amazing. And she is a member of the Orlando Garden Club. And I'll be talking about that in a little while. But she has she wanted to tell me that she got her eggplants to survive through the wintertime. And she now has 6 growing eggplants almost ready to eat.
Nice.
So eggplant parmesan is going to be on the menu.
Love that.
Yes.
I love that. I also got a question about, I sent you a picture of my onions, and they're popping out the top of the ground. So, but the leaves, I guess you would call it.
Uh-huh.
What do you call it? What is the long things that come out of the
onion?
Yes,
those are leaves.
Those are leaves.
Wow, yes.
Okay. So that's crazy. They aren't doing the little, like, bending down thing yet, so they're still pretty hardy and solid, so I don't want to just yank them up out of the ground yet.
No, you can keep them going. You can put a little bit more soil around them if you want.
Okay.
But it's not going to hurt them. That's what they do, is they sprout.
Yeah, they're getting about baseball size. I had you know, I'm waiting for it to the neck to kind of fall over to the side.
Uh-huh.
Before I yank them up, supposedly. That's what, you know,
it's okay, that you can do that. Do you eat the greens?
Yes.
Oh, they're delicious. They are part of my favorite, so I love that. If you have a gardening question, someone just texted and wanted to know the phone number, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680, like Nick did, to say good morning. And we just love everybody checking in. Mike and Venice just checked in, and Linda, Zone 8B, she has some questions. We're going to handle all of that when we come back. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's Top 5.
And my top 5 today celebrates Easter, my top 5 flower perennials with Easter colors. So the first one is African Daisy. This is an osteospermum. It could be an annual or perennial. It takes part sun and full sun. It has flower colors in the pastel shades of orange, pink, and purple, white, and yellow. They are so Eastery. They bloom spring, summer, and fall in zones 9, 10, and 11. My second spring flower that has Easter colors is calla lilies. These are bulbs. They have sword-shaped leaves, full sun, moist soils, deer and rabbit resistant. They have 22 colors, including cream and pink, white and yellow, and light purple flower colors. My third is Angelonia, annuals or perennials, and they have light blue, light purple, white, and pink flowers. Bloom spring and summer. It is a South American native that loves lots of sun and damp soil. Fourth one is rain lilies. I talk about rain lilies all the time. These are bulbs. They bloom in pale pink, rosy pink, yellow, and orange. It is, and the Florida native rain lily is white, and they're one of my favorites. They're wonderful for Easter. And my last one is day lilies, Hemerocallis. They're bulbs, white, cream, pinks, yellows, oranges, and purples. They're able to survive with very little care in a wide range of soils and sunshine. They will bloom in sun and shade. So those are my top five. I'll place them on my blog on she-consulting.com. And thank you, Lizzie, very much for that. And so real quick, going through my text messages here. Dichondra is spreading in my St. Augustine grass. It looks similar to dollarweed. Yes, it does. I read this could be a ground cover. Yes, it is. It is a native. It is also a wonderful trailing vine for your containers. Is it hard to get rid of? No, you can use a broadleaf herbicide with it and you'll get rid of it. But I will tell you, let's not do it right now. Let's wait till the rain comes and get your lawn hydrated before you use an herbicide, especially because don't use herbicides in temperatures over 85 degrees. So Linda and Zombie, yes, they came through and I got the photographs, and you have two gardenia plants that are turning yellow. One, I would check to make sure with this drought that we are getting, they're getting enough water. Okay, they do like to have moist soils. And then also, too, if you've been fertilizing, they may be fixing to bloom. Look at your plants and see if they have buds in them. Sometimes when gardenias are starting to put out buds or starting to bloom, they will get chlorosis, chlorotic leaves, and so that may be possible. If not, then they may need to be fertilized. Okay, again, with this drought, take it easy. I would dilute the fertilizer or cut it in half and give it just a little bit. You don't want to burn anything. And then Mike in Venice. Good morning, Mike. He's sending me a tip on tools. He says that he has become a big proponent of the shrinking hoses. This is the first time in 40 years he has not had to drag a hose across the lawn. And he thinks that's very good. And I agree.
Yes.
So that is wonderful. So now, next weekend also, this is spring. We've got a lot of festivals and a lot of flower shows. And this one is one you can't miss. So it's the Orlando Garden Club. They're presenting their flower show, Treasures from My Spring Garden. The Orlando Garden Club is a horticultural club that's been around a very, very long time. It's Friday, April 25th from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. and then Saturday, April 26th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And the event is free and open to the public. It is presented by the Orlando Garden Club. It's a proud member of the National Garden Clubs. And what they're going to have are so many great floral displays and container-grown flowering and foliage plants. They're going to have blooming cut specimens and captivating miniature landscapes such as fairy gardens. Oh, I love fairy gardens. Succulent gardens and terrariums. And so you can go see. They're also going to have educational exhibits, including The Science of Blooming, Spring Chicken, A History of the Orlando Garden Club, and The Benefits of Plants in Our Lives. And so this is free and open to the public. You can go to the Orlando Garden Club Flower Show, Treasures from My Spring Garden, on Friday. And then Saturday, go to the Popka Art and Foliage Festival, or vice versa. Or you have plenty of time to go to the Orlando Garden Club Flower Show, Treasures from My Spring Garden, in the morning. And then in the afternoon, you can go to the Art and Foliage Festival in Apopka. Great, great events next weekend, April 25th and 26th for the Flower Show, Orlando Garden Club Flower Show, and April 26th and 27th for the Apopka Art and Foliage Festival. lots of great things to do.
Definitely. Florida is a good place to be, especially for the spring and the fall. Well, I mean, the rest of the year, too, but especially spring and fall.
Exactly. So what can you be planting this time of the year? What should you be doing in your garden? Well, right now, this is the time that we should, you know, start to be looking at fertilizing our lawns. Again, please hold off for the next 10 days. Wait till the rain kicks in, and then you can put it down. You can put it down before June 1st. Okay, most of the state has fertilizer bans at starting June 1st. But right now, we can fertilize in May. Let's get that rain and get our plants hydrated before we fertilize them. If you need to fertilize, then make sure your plants are hydrated. Also, too, get a soil test. This gives you a chance to get a soil test before fertilizing your lawns. You may not need to put down nitrogen. You may not need to put down phosphorus. So get that soil test, and it's going to tell you what to do. When we go through stress, like droughts, our lawns and plants are more susceptible to insect, and our lawns are more susceptible to chinch bugs. So make sure when you're walking your yard, you want to do it on a regular basis and catch a problem before it becomes a major problem. If you see a dead spot in your area, in your lawn, check it out. See what it is. It may be from your dogs, you know, and that, you know, you can help by putting water on immediately after your dog, urinates on the lawn. Go ahead and, you know, soak it with water. That's going to dilute it. It's not going to be as strong. Or it may be an insect problem starting. And so you can catch it, and you don't have to use as many pesticides when you catch it at a small level. Also, too, mole crickets. Start looking for those in Bahia, Bermuda, and Zoysia lawns. And use a control as needed as well. And so also you want to make sure that... Oh, this is a big one, Lizzie. If you have ornamental grasses like red fountain grass or white fountain grass that you have winter damage and they're all brown.
Yes.
Please, please cut them back.
Okay.
I go by and I see these houses with all brown leaves, and the new growth has already started to come out. And so that should have been done at the end of January, first part of February, and it's April. Okay, so go ahead and cut them back to about 6 to 8 inches high and let the new growth. You do have time to do it.
Okay, good.
And
I
wasn't talking about you.
Yes, she was. You see the pictures and the stuff in the background that I send her.
Also, too, your palm trees can be needing a fertilizing. Again, make sure it's just hydrated before you do it. Palms do need to have regular fertilizer. And then every 3 to 4 months. So you want to do that. And then water new plantings. So new plants should be watered every day for at least the first couple of weeks. And if you have an irrigation system, you may have to hand water it. Okay, you don't want to get a fine, and you don't want to overwater plants that don't need the water. You just want to water your new plants. If you have a new lawn, this is fine to put down right now. A new lawn is fine. You want to water it every day. And if it's zoysia, you want to water it twice a day when we have this heat for the first week. The second week, you water it every 2 days. The third week, you water it every 3 days. And by the end of the month, your grass has assimilated and it is established, and you can go ahead and water twice a week. If you water every day for the first 30 days to 60 days, and some cities allow, then your lawn is never going to get established. And when you can't water that for every day, your lawn is going to decline. So go ahead and wean them. Start to wean them off. First week, go ahead and water every day for the first week. Water every 2 days the second week, every 3 days the third week. And by then, it'll be established. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.